Okay, it is 6 o'clock. I will call the meeting to order. May we have a roll call?
Director Susenya.
I'm here.
Director Gatchell. Director Ohilski.
Present.
Vice President Forcroy.
I'm here.
President Womack.
Present. All right. We'll start with the public hearings. Public hearings to adopt resolutions submitting the following fiscal year 2021-2022 assessments and special tax rolls to San Luis Obispo County for collection. Do I ask if anyone wants to pull any item or discuss any item?
Individually for each one, you could at this point. Since we're not hearing anyone, do you want me to proceed with the presentation?
Yes. Oh, can I? I just want to point out a typo. Is that
okay?
Good to do here.
Sure.
For item four, fire protection. I think at the bottom, the word said something and then the number was something else. Page one of three, it says setting the rate to $18.28 and then it has 1860 in parentheses. And what I think it is the old rate's 1828 and then you added the 32 cents, it should be 1860.
You are correct.
Okay, that's my only
comment. I will adjust that resolution before it is signed, thank you.
Okay. Yes, please proceed with the presentation, Ron.
All right, thank you. Annually, the district establishes assessments and special tax rolls as listed in the staff report. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And as shown on this slide, once approved, they are then sent to the county for collection. In accordance with legislation and county rules, resolutions need to be adopted to legally place these on the tax rolls. The bottom one, number six, I'll talk to that separately. So, and I'll talk to that in just a moment. Next slide, please. As you can see in the table, most assessments have remained relatively the same, except for Fund 200 Bay Ridge Estates, which did go down. This will continue to go down in the next fiscal year, as well as we've paid off their loan to the water fund, and we understand how cash flow is for that particular fund. The fire tax did go up by the CPI, which the board approved. That was 1.74%. And then the wastewater charge went up slightly just based on the costs of the consultant services that we use. Next slide, please. For delinquent water charges per district code, the property owner is responsible for the payments of all rates, charges, and fees. Each year, staff compiles a list of accounts that are over 90 days due, past due. Starting in May, we then start notifying the property owners of delinquent water charges, and that a lien will be placed on the tax rolls unless the amount was either paid in full or the customer enters into a payment plan agreement by the date we establish in the letters that we send to them. And as required by law, noticing of this has been published twice. Notice of the hearing was also sent to the property owner specifying the amount of their delinquency. And as the published date, there were 16 water customers on the list for an amount just under $10,000. Four have paid since this was published. So those will be removed from the list. And next slide is the recommendation, and I'm can answer any questions.
All right, are there any questions?
Chuck. Yeah, okay. This is Chuck. How does the number of delinquencies compare to a normal year?
This is up in past years. We've, I think we've only had one on the past 2 years that I've been here. And before that, it's been very, very low. So this is up over previous years by quite a bit in those terms. I have to mention, and I don't, and Laura may be able to help me here, when we started the lien list, it was quite high. Laura, do you recall the number we started with in the process?
We had 58 when we first started.
And so through our notifications and working with customers, we now have it down to 14. But as you noted, Chuck, that is still higher than usual.
Okay, yeah, there's all kinds of places you could go here. I mean, are these out-of-town owners? We have provided every opportunity to people I know to reach out and try and work something out.
Correct.
It's the people affected by COVID that, you know, of course, would be of concern. But we've done what we can, I think.
Yes, we have. I feel we, as an agency, go above and beyond trying to contact well in advance of this action to help people at least get on payment plans so we don't go to lien.
Yeah, no one wants that. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay, hearing none, let's open up for public comment.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Okay, bringing it back to the board. Any further comments? All right, not hearing any. May I hear a motion? Or does this just, we need a motion.
I have quite a lengthy motion here.
Yeah, okay. This is Chuck. I'll move that the board adopt resolutions 2021-13 through 18 to levy the charges, special taxes, and assessments as listed separately in Exhibit A for Bay Ridge Estates, Vista de Oro, Drainage, Fire Protection, and Prevention Services, District Number 1, Wastewater Services, and the District Delinquent Water Charges, and direct staff to submit adopted resolutions and tax rules to the county for collection.
This is nicely Matthew. Done. I'll second it.
Thank you, Matthew. All right, roll call vote.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Gatchel.
Yes.
Director Ohilski. President Womack. Oh, Marshall, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Did you hear me or not?
Oh, I can barely hear you. Are you a yes?
Yeah, I said yes. Is that better?
Thank you. And then President Womack.
Yes. All right. And it passes. Next on the agenda is a general action item, letter affirming free and fair elections in Slo County. I believe Ron has a presentation.
I do, thank you very much. And this is an interesting one. Since the November 2020 elections, there has been a lot of focus on how elections are conducted in general, which has created wide-ranging controversy at the national, state, and local levels. After a highly publicized Board of Supervisors meeting where there was extensive public comment challenging the integrity of our San Luis Obispo County 2020 election, and then the recent resignation of On June 21st, the district did receive a communication from the Women's March of San Luis Obispo requesting local elected officials communicate to the Board of Supervisors the selection of the interim clerk recorder be transparent. And this is me summarizing the communication. It is attached to the staff report. The person appointed be impartial and apolitical, and that elections must continue to maximize access to voting. Next slide, please. The decision before you tonight is to whether to submit a letter to the Board of Supervisors on this matter, and if so, what key points should be included in that letter. Next slide, please. The suggested key points from the staff report, which are in line with the request from the Women's March of San Luis Obispo group request, are that fair elections continue to be conducted in a transparent, professional, and nonpartisan manner, and that they are the cornerstone of our democracy. The interim clerk recorder must be apolitical and impartial, and county residents must continue to have maximum access to voting opportunities in order to maintain continued confidence in our election process. With that, I did make a recommendation based on the board wanting to move forward, but I open this up to questions and discussion.
So I guess I'd like to open it up to ask if, first and foremost, the board would like to submit such a letter.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, you're a little quiet, but I can hear you.
Okay, I'm not gonna support this. I'm not necessarily gonna oppose it, but there's a fine line between us getting involved in politics and from us just being a Los Osos Community Service District. So for that reason, I won't vote no, but I will abstain if you guys move forward with this. I just think it's very, very close to the line to getting us involved in politics. That's my comment.
All right, thanks for your input. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Chuck. I was a little concerned about this too, because part of the chatter is free and fair elections, but we're hearing it from the people who didn't think we had a free and fair election, which we did. And so, you know, part of me is like, I don't want to be associated with that. If we send this letter, I think point number three is the key to me, is that residents must continue to have maximum access to voting opportunities in order to maintain continued confidence in the election process. That point needs to be made. And that's all I'll say for now.
So are you saying you'd be in favor of writing a letter, at least with bullet point number three?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Matthew. I've been thinking about this since, I guess last week mostly. And I kind of have been thinking in it about it in terms of what Marshall is saying about how this is necessarily something that we should be getting involved in. I guess the for me, the line that I can connect our board, so that in our district, to this particular topic is in the fact that that clerk recorder is running our elections, the CSD's elections. So in that respect, I can get behind drafting a letter, and I kind of echo, so that's my basis for you know, even seeing a reason to, for the CSD to have an opinion, is because this affects, we rely on that clerk recorder to transact our elections. And then I echo what Chuck said about bullet point three.
Thank you. Troy?
I read the correspondence that came in, and I didn't understand why they didn't think it was fair in the previous selection. I didn't have enough information really to understand the issues. I'm for a letter that says, you know, points around we want transparency and free elections. So obviously we support that, but I didn't understand where our line is in that, or what our responsibility is in that. Since it's countywide and we're just a district, obviously we support voicing our opinion of having a fair and free election. So I didn't understand why they thought that it wasn't, or why they're coming to us to help in that regard.
So to clarify, I believe the Women's March does believe it's free and fair, but a bunch of people called in to the Board of Supervisors, and it sounded like some of them might not have been from our district even. So people did call in to attack Tommy Gong and our elections. But I think what the Women's March is saying, it was fair. Is that
Okay.
Clarifying.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I support just that we want to keep transparent fair election. I mean, I support that in general.
Okay. All right. So hearing board discussion, I'd like to open this item up for public comment.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
All right, it's quiet then. So let's, I guess what I'd like to first vote on is whether we want to write a letter. So do we take a vote, or?
You'd have to have someone make a motion to that effect.
Okay, so will anyone make a motion?
This is Chuck. First, before I make the motion, I want to say thank you, Matthew, for making sure that we understand the link to our board. The county certifies our elections, and there was no problem with the last election. And I think all three bullet points are important. I just don't like the current effort to restrict voting that's going on. So with that, I move that the board direct staff and the board president to draft and send a letter to the County of San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors based on the key points agreed upon by the board members. And I think the three bullet points here should all be included. But if there's more, I guess we'll see the letter before it's sent.
Oh, I think let's just start with the three bullet points. And if nobody, I didn't hear anyone want to add something. I were kind of heard people might want to subtract.
Okay. Well, I'm okay with a motion that includes those three bullet points. And if people want to add, I guess during the second, we can do that.
Okay. This is Marshall. Can you hear me okay? We can barely hear you, but go ahead, Marshall.
When Chuck said what he said about the third bullet point, the fair and transparent, I think I could support that bullet point. But the whole thing about dragging us into the Tommy Gong discussion, that's where I just can't get involved. But I could support bullet point number three.
Okay. Thanks for your input. So there's a motion. Will anyone second that motion?
This is Troy, I second it.
Okay.
If I could jump in real quick before we take the vote.
Okay.
Chuck, in process wise, we're gonna need to get this letter to the Board of Supervisors before our next meeting. So we envisioned that Chris and I would write the letter, Chris would approve it and sign it, and that we'd send it on based on the key points that you're approving tonight.
I understand that. And we have motioned that the three bullet points would be included in that letter. I don't hear about any additions, so I think we should just go ahead and vote on a motion to include those three bullet points in the letter and see how that goes.
Okay.
All right, that sounds good. All right, roll call vote, please.
Director Cesena.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Ohilski.
I think that was an abstain.
That's what I'm going to take it as. Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. Okay. So that passes. I guess we agreed to the three bullet points and we won't change that. Okay. I'd like to open for public comment for items.
This is Jeff. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Did we take public comment on that last item?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure we moved on. Thank you.
Thank you for making sure. I appreciate it. So I'd like to open for public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. All right, Larry, you just have to unmute yourself.
Thank you. My name is Larry Rao. I'm with the Los Osos Sustainability Group. I know you guys are writing a letter to the Coastal Commission. They've asked for your input on the water situation. And I just want to ask that you, I don't know if you guys read the letter in New Times about Cambria, and it's very close to home with Los Osos situation, where the county allowed or gave a building permit for a house. And basically the Coastal Commission wrote them a scathing letter, like 37 pages or something, that the county did not determine that there was an adequate sustainable water supply to serve the project. And really went on to say there's not an adequate water supply for the current population. You know, and I just see the county kind of forcing their hand, and basically the county's excuse was that the CSD gave a will serve letter. You know, so if you guys provide will serve letters, then that's telling the county that, you know, it's okay that there's an adequate water supply so that they can, you know, basically add new development. So if you haven't seen that, it's a really good article. You should look at it. And I think it's a big issue. You know, I'd also like you to seriously, you know, look at the ag use that's in the annual report. You know, we've written a letter, and our hydrogeologist wrote a letter to the BMC that really explained why that number just isn't right. And there's also the issue of the sustainable yield that's in the, that the BMC has apparently okayed, which we have, we don't think that that was actually properly done legally. And the other thing to really look at is this Title 19, using offsets to, you know, basically say that you're providing more water with these offsets. And the county has admitted that the way that they have been calculating these offsets were not correct. And they have a committee being set up to re-look at that. But who knows when that's going to be done. But they went back and said, well, until that committee says something, they're going to continue to use their numbers that they've already admitted don't work. So I would hope that maybe you guys would pressure the county to rethink on that. Anyway, thank you so much.
All right, Port San Luis, you are just have to unmute yourself. Port San Luis, I see that your hand's raised. You just have to, if you're on your phone, *6.
Good evening. Sorry about that. And it's actually Andrea Luker. So I apologize. Thank you, I apologize for the Port San Luis. I'm still working on the Zoom techniques, I guess, from the participant's perspective. I just wanted to tell you very quickly, I'm a member of your Parks and Recreation Committee, and I got the pleasure of walking over to the Farrell Street pathway and walking along the Farrell Street pathway over last weekend. And although this is a small project, it's all these small projects that make such a difference in Los Osos. So thank you, board, for your support, and General Manager Munns, great project. And I hope you have a good rest of your meeting. Thank you.
All right, Patrick, you just have to unmute yourself.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, I would also like to talk about a little bit about the letter that you are going to be drafting with the other purveyors. It is really important that you guys take a stand at this time. You wrote letters independently to the county expressing your concern about the water availability and about new development, whether they're ADUs or houses being permitted or at least approved to be permitted outside the moratorium area. You need to really make it clear to the county, well, you did, that the water really isn't there and you have a lot of concerns about more building. Well, they continue approving projects. The Coastal Commission now is asking you, how do you feel about more building? You need to basically just say, we don't have the water. We haven't met our goals yet. And the goals that you have, primary goal is first to stop seawater intrusion or reverse it as best as possible. The second goal that you have is to have sustainable water for the current population. In the executive summary of the Basin Management Plan, it says you need to immediately take bold and decisive actions to do this. In the Basin Plan also on section 6.3.3 under seawater intrusion targets, it says the primary goal of the basin is to halt or, to the extent possible, reverse seawater intrusion into the basin as established in section 2.4. Immediate goal, number one, related immediately is to provide sustainable water supplies for existing residential, commercial, community, and agricultural development within Los Osos. We do not have that. In order to achieve these goals, this basin plan proposes to balance water demands within the plan area, including the appropriate buffer, so that the parties and other persons who extract groundwater from the basin do not overuse the valuable water resource of the basin. This basin plan adopted as a buffer of 20% so that the basin yield metric should not exceed 80% on a long-term basis. The results of such a buffer are discussed below, which continues. This is the important part though. Such a balance can be achieved by either reducing the amount of annual groundwater production or by increasing sustainable yield. Well, what has been happening is that the Basin Management Committee, which you're a part of, has increased the sustainable yield so they can meet their 80% buffer. They have it now at 2760 acre feet per year. It was supposed to be mandated, and it was in the stipulated judgment to be 2400 acre feet a year. And if it stayed at that point, the—
Patrick, reached for 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's no other public comment at this time.
All right, I'd like to thank the members of the public who took time to make comments. And Ron, did you want to address any of those comments?
Those comments, well, I can say that the purveyors continue to work on the letter. We probably will have it done by the end of July, but I will want to run it through our utility advisory committee before it comes to the board for consideration. The other issues the BMC is working on to update the basin metrics. I will be participating as a staff member to the BMC, and those will be updated this year. Understand the concerns. Just for the record, the Los Osos CSD is not issuing WILSER letters based on the stage 3 drought condition that we've declared. And I don't see that being lifted anytime soon, according to our water shortage contingency plan.
All right, thank you much. Could I
add a few things,
please,
here?
Please, please. Yeah, I almost asked if anyone else wanted to add some things. So please, yes.
I want to second Andrea's shout out about the pathway. Parks and Rec, whoever came up with the original idea, Matthew, for spearheading that committee. It's easy to take for granted good emergency services and the fact that we're providing good water service at fair rates. But those things tend to get overlooked and you kind of take them for granted. So a little something new now and then is good. I'm just happy to see this project completed. And thanks, Parks and Rec. And again, the comments about the letter that's going to be coming out. The New Times last week, Andrew Christie at Sierra Club wrote a wonderful article that talks about the dialogue between the county and Cambria CSD about, is it appropriate to be allowing or relying on will serves? This is going to be a hot issue. Read that article. And I guess as a 36-year state employee, I have to agree that the kind of the subplot to it at all was that state agencies usually like to couch their comments to each other in nice terms. And this letter is pretty blunt. I think you got to go back to last week's New Times and check that article out. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Did any other directors have comments? Okay, hearing none. I'll second that. Nice job, Matthew, on the path. I've used it and it's great. So, all right, now let's move to administrative and committee reports. And I believe we have Tom Swanson, or I'm not sure who's giving the fire department report, but let me hand it over to you.
This is Paul Province here.
Did you open?
Oh, thanks, Paul.
So we do have Tom Swanson on the line. He's the division chief that oversees, well, he's basically my boss, and he oversees the administration of the contract. And I'll give him an opportunity to give some comment after I give the report, if that works for you guys.
That sounds excellent. Thank you.
Okay. So we're just going to do a verbal report here. Not a whole lot of mind-blowing stuff going on in Los Osos as far as incidents being run. We're still right on pace where we were last year. Actually, I believe we're about 10 calls behind where we were last year at this time. But still, a bulk of our calls are medical. We're not seeing a large influx of vegetation fires or anything like that. Nothing that's jumping out at us as far as need for alarm. We had 25 traffic collisions, which were all pretty minor in nature. And then we did have one vegetation fire in the area that was just a small spot. I haven't gotten a lot of detail on that yet, but it was outside of the district boundary. Still operating under some COVID protocols. We're still taking COVID precautions, limiting public access to our fire stations until we come completely out. But you will see us a little more engaged with the public now that some of the restrictions have been relaxed. As far as special programs and projects, we still have the weed abatement inspections that are ongoing. First round of letters have gone out, and we are now waiting to see what the residents' responses are to those, and whether or not they clear their properties, and whether we go to second notice or not. There was a property on the Los Olivos and Mountain View area that I just saw an article in Cal Coast News and just got notified that was red tagged for doing their weed abatement work over in that area. I don't have a whole lot of details because I saw the email just prior to the meeting. So I'll dig deeper into that when I go, but the property in question is the one place that we have had a vegetation fire here in the last month and a half or so. So I'll follow up with that. We did receive some inquiries from the general public regarding the El Moro Trail area. I'm working on making some contacts to make sure that we can get that area cleaned up a little bit, but there's also some sensitive habitat in there, so we'll have to figure out how we're going to work around those things. Some of the challenges with your local areas is the snail habitat, the local ecological reserve, the state park, and all that, so sometimes we have to work with the local residents on how to figure out creative ways to work around those restrictions. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them, or I'll turn it over to Chief Swanson.
Does anyone on the board have any questions? All right, thank you, Paul. And I'm happy to hear from Tom.
Good evening. Just wanted to log in this evening and say hi and just show my support. We're at peak staffing right now for our unit or county. And Chief Moore, the unit and county fire chief, is looking at starting a burn suspension and doing the official declaration as early as Monday, July 5th. So if that's the case, that'll come out in all the media outlets to show that there's a burn suspension in place, and that would prohibit any kind of, you know, backyard burning and things like that, or only allow agricultural burning with a permit with our approval at that point. Other than that, it's as you see in the news, it's pretty busy in the northern part of the state right now, and we expect the activity to start picking up around here as we get further into the summer.
All right, thank you. Next, we have the Sheriff's Department report.
Hi, good evening, everyone. First of all, I want to lead off with apologize for not sending a agency report as we've done in the past. We're switching to new software, so all of our categories are completely different. So I'm going to have to kind of do this manually as they're much more in depth and there's much more categories. So I'll try and just summarize it the best I can. As far as calls for service, it's tracking very much the same as last year. A lot of the calls last year during this time were COVID related. We've obviously shifted out of that to some degree as far as calls from the public. We had the majority of our calls were self-initiated stops or public contacts. Let's see here. Bulk amount of calls were 415 complaints, which are just disturbance calls, neighbor issues, music, loud vehicles, anything that's a disturbance to the peace. We're still having a fair amount of package thefts off of front porches, like Amazon deliveries and things like that. There was, like I said, we have new categories here, so some of this stuff we probably haven't talked about before, but I'll try and include it in future meetings. There was 4 calls for intoxicated subjects that needed their welfare checked. Something that takes up a lot of our time that I don't think we've discussed in the past is incomplete 911 calls, where somebody calls 911 and they basically accidentally dialed, but we still have to send a deputy out there to determine if there is an emergency. So there is 53 of those calls just in Los Osos for the month. There was 10 mental health related calls, which would be people that are experiencing crisis and need intervention. A lot of times our fire counterparts and medics go with us to those calls. Let's see, we had 4 runaway juvenile reports. And I think that's from what I can gather. I'm still trying to, we literally just went live with this new system, so I'm trying to figure through it. There was 10 suspicious circumstance calls, which are calls that citizens make that don't amount to a crime, but are still require deputy intervention. And as the fire guys spoke about, obviously we're gearing up for the 4th of July as well. We have full staffing at our station. Every deputy and sergeant, like myself and the commander, we're all working on the 4th of July. So we'll have a heavy sheriff's presence out there for the 4th of July. We have dedicated teams on foot, on bikes, in the cars, on our off-road vehicles for Apollo, Los Osos, Cayucas, Cambria, and roving issues, roving units. So you should expect to see us out there in full force. Any questions? Happy to answer them.
Thank you for your report. Any questions from the board?
Yeah, this is Matthew Forcroy. I just wanted to ask, the number one question I get around town concerns Palisades. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you get a lot of questions about that. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on, are you seeing an actual increase in citations in and around that area, or is it most, or are you seeing increase, and are you seeing increases in calls for service out there?
Yes, Matthew, I can absolutely confirm there is a large increase in calls for service in that area. Deputies have spent an enormous amount of time on Palisades recently, and I want to categorize that as we're not out there just writing tickets. We work with people in the community. We've been giving resources out. We have a deputy that is specifically assigned to nothing but working with unhoused individuals in Los Osos. So for instance, making sure they have access to adequate food and shelter and medical care. And there's people within the county that we go out there with that have more resources shared than we do, but you know, whether it's making sure they have fresh water or trash bags to clean up their trash or what it be, but we are having to draw a line on that. We're not going to turn a blind eye to that area if they're committing criminal actions. So we're definitely taking a slow approach and trying to be give warnings, give them plenty of time, give them the ability to correct whatever issues there are, but they're being held to the same standard as the rest of the community. Just like you or I or anyone else, if we're committing a criminal act, then there's going to be repercussions to that, whether it's a citation or arrest or what have you. But I there's definitely more calls for service. There's definitely more interest in that area, and the deputies have spent a considerable amount more time in that area. I think that if anyone's spending time in that area, it's not uncommon to see a sheriff's deputy over there.
Okay. Yeah. No, I appreciate the update because it's something that I get asked about frequently, and I'm not, you know, there's a lot of people talking about that area, but it's hard to know if that's actually, you know, what's actually happening is, you know, from your perspective. So that really helps.
Yes. It's a very, high, see, how do I say this? High on our agenda to try and balance giving resources and helping people out if they need help. Not everybody wants the help, to be honest, but those that are willing to accept the resources and accept the help, trying to give that to them while also maintaining our obligation to the community to enforce the laws if they're being broken. And I want to make it very clear that the sheriff's office does not ever consider somebody being unhoused or homeless a crime. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if there's, you know, I'll just random examples. If there's littering going on, if there's sewage being dumped, if there's drug use, if there's crimes being committed, this is not about them being homeless in that area.
Right. Well, I appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Oh, go ahead, Chuck.
This is Chuck. Matthew, thank you for that sparking that conversation. Because this is a hot topic lately. And I mean, to the point where LOCAC has now established a subcommittee on homelessness. I know that I think People's Self-Help Housing has property in this town. They're trying to secure grants to do some tiny homes. I don't know, but there's way more interest, obviously, and way more need for this kind of discussion. And I want to thank the sheriffs for just being a part of this dialogue. And one last question for you. It seems like there's been a rash of catalytic converter thefts recently, or is it just that they're hitting my friends? Is it not, is it just the business as usual that way?
So not last month, but the months preceding that, we felt a sharp increase in that. However, that's not special to Los Osos, that's actually statewide. And in my opinion, is directly tied to the lack of resources, natural resources such as metal. So the cost of a scrap catalytic converter has skyrocketed. So it's far more valuable to steal. We did arrest a couple people in the Avila area that were committing some of those crimes. But it's just like anything else. It could be seasonal or demand driven. For instance, like in the winter time, you're going to see, you know, package thefts go up because Christmas time, or tax refund season, mail thefts might go up because of, you know, checks being mailed out. So for this last month, it's really calmed down. I don't really know what to attribute that to. Maybe the people we caught were the prolific ones and responsible for a lot of them. Maybe they moved. Maybe it's roaming through the area. I can't really put a finger on it, but this last month we didn't have anyone reported.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great discussion. Does anyone, I'll just put it out there. Does anyone else have a question or Okay, we'll move on to the general manager report. Thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Just one more thing on the Feral Pathway project. We did get our final sign off on our permit with the county for the grading and the other improvements related to that. So we've got jumped through all the hoops and we've got final sign off. So that's fantastic. Just real quick on the program Seawell project, the initial study comment period ended. Staff and our consultant SWCA are working on the comments that we received. Our hope is to have comments incorporated and everything wrapped up towards the end of July and have the approval of the mitigated negative declaration to the board, hopefully at the August 5th board meeting. Another thing is I do want to remind the community that we are in a level D3 drought, which is considered extreme. We urge people to watch your water use, look for leaks, limit your outdoor irrigation, and if you have any issues or problems that we may be able to help with, please give us a call. And finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about our office opening and live meetings. We opened our office to limited hours today. I believe we had two or three people come in, maybe it was three. We are going to do limited hours for the first couple of weeks. And something I would like some board input on, since the Delta variant has arrived in Slo County, we were thinking about looking hard at the month of July to make sure going to live meetings during July. We were thinking of having the UAC meeting live and then open the office up to regular hours in mid-July. So that's something maybe the board could give me a little feedback on after I complete my report here, because we are looking at August 5th being our first live board meeting. We will be adhering to OSHA restrictions, which are basically if you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. If you have not been vaccinated, you do need to wear a mask, but we encourage to wear masks on any indoor type of meeting or event. So with that, that's the my general manager report. And if anyone has any comments about how to proceed with live meetings and the office, I would appreciate comments.
All right, any comments from the board?
Can you hear me now?
I can. Oh, you sound much better now.
Well, that's because I'm at home finally. Ron, just my input on the live meetings. I think as long as we stay with the social distancing and people wear the face mask in accordance with the CDC guidelines, I think going to the live meetings would be a good step forward. If something changes, you know, I think that we may want to reconsider that. But for now, I think that the live meetings with the social distancing and the masks would be a way to go. That's just my take.
So are you saying, just for clarification,
go ahead.
Are you saying masks for everyone attending, including committee and board members?
Yes. I mean, I've been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, but I still wear a mask when I'm out in public, even though I don't have to.
Right. I've been I agree with you, Marshall, because I've been reading some things that concern me about the D variant. And I'd kind of hate for us to like fumble the ball at the 5-yard line. Like I'd like to continue to see the numbers go down. So I think maybe being a little extra careful is warranted to make sure that this D variant isn't a problem. But I guess I'm wondering, should we do the utility, can we, maybe we delay having the utilities in person until August?
My question is that social distancing, 6 feet. Let's think about the spacing just to set up for a committee or a board across the front of that room. Has anyone marked that out on a floor to see physically how that happens?
Well, we had gotten away from social distancing because that's been pretty much eliminated by the state of California. And I think the CDC guideline, don't hold me to this, was like 3 feet or something.
Right.
Okay, I do remember that. Yeah, for schools and things. Yeah, okay. Okay, if we so 3 feet, it seems reasonable.
Yeah, if we did the 6 feet, there's no way.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe if it's 3 feet and we're still masked, we're pretty safe.
Yeah, I hopefully. Think the 3 feet with every, you know, basically every other seat's vacant up at the podium, or pardon me, up at the front. I think with masks, that would be my opinion.
All right, I appreciate the input. Anyone else want to share their thoughts?
Oh, I had a question for Ron. The program Seawell, any indication about comments that we've received? I know we're still in the comment period, but...
pretty limited comments. You know, really probably the only one of substance was working with Golden State on any interference that well might have with their South Bay well. But I think we've worked through those with them. Otherwise, really just some cosmetic things about the site. I'm trying to think offhand, but generally nothing that would concern me.
Okay, I guess a lot of my questions would come from a utilities department report, but we kind of skipped over that.
Was there anything in particular? Because usually I try to get something.
Well, just the 8th Street well, I just want to make sure. And then 16th, are we on target for the way those projects are proceeding?
Yeah, the 8th Street upper aquifer well, we're out to bid right now. That closes July 13th. We're optimistic that we'll get a number of bids based on a non-mandatory pre-job meeting we had out there a few weeks ago. So that's, we won't know anything about that until July 13th. The 16th Street well, we've engaged with our district engineer to start putting together the bid package for that. My hope is to have that to the board at the August 5th meeting to release for bid.
Okay, and then no other curveballs that came our
no
way?
No other curveballs. I think I told you we had 3rd Street well go down, right. But we had anticipated it was gonna have a problem, and luckily the parts, the pumps, everything came in within a few days, and that's back up and running.
Good.
Excellent, any other questions on, Ron's report.
Yeah, this okay, is Matthew. Oh, no, this is Matthew. I wanted to add one thing just on the feral pathway is that we're going to hold the Parks and Rec committee meeting there on July 20th. That was our plan, actually, at the pathway as kind of not necessarily ribbon cutting, but you know, to see the pathway in person. So I wanted to put that out there. Because we're just talking about changing the plan that we had talked about for UAC. I would really like to see us still go out to the feral pathway on the 20th.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I think I wasn't, we discussed it and we weren't worried about it since you're outside. So
yeah,
that's still on.
Yeah, my two cents on that whole subject is just, I think we should be in person as soon as is safe, and it sounds like if we follow all of the guidance out there, that it is safe. So that's my opinion.
Matthew, excellent. This is Marshall. This is Marshall. Could you repeat the time and the date for that, the meeting out there, not the ribbon cutting, but because I'm really impressed with that pathway. I mean, it's so beautiful. But when is that going to be?
It will be on Tuesday, July 20th.
Okay.
At 5:30 p.m.
Okay.
And that are we all allowed to show up?
I believe Bike Slow County is going to be there. I announced it at OCAC, cool. So hopefully there's some people to check it out.
And that will be a noticed meeting for Parks and Rec Committee. So we'll have the dates out there.
Yeah, it'll be it's a social meeting for us too. So yeah, we won't be discussing any CSD business.
No, yeah. It will be a very, very short agenda that day.
The path is so cool. I'm really impressed. And the people that have never done that connectivity there, it's really great. Especially
that's such a direct link. That was a good project.
Yeah, when I ride my bike through there, it's so much better than going up by Sweet Spring or know what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Okay, any other comments, questions? All right, let's move on to the LOCAC report.
Okay, I went to LOCAC this month. This is Matthew. Right. There's a few things that I thought that I would bring back and talk about a little bit. One was our sewer rate increase in town. That is going to go into effect soon. The Board of Supervisors voted, I think on June 22nd, to reinstate the rate increase. And that's based on the system losing I think it was like $700,000 in that time frame. So it looks like that rate increase is going to start August 1st. And the Public Works is applying to the American Rescue Plan to try to restore some of those revenues. And they thought that that would probably happen, that we would be able to get the amount that had been lost because of the delay in implementing that rate increase. So I thought that was an interesting thing for us to be talking about. Another part that was a good discussion is talking about opening meetings in person. And we've discussed, I think, a little bit about hybrid meetings. So LOCAC is looking to do the same exact thing, a in-person and Zoom hybrid meeting. And one thing that Supervisor Gibson mentioned is that the Cambria Chamber of Commerce just did a hybrid meeting that was cost-effective and worked out pretty well. So it looks like there's a few people. So Sandra Saruf at LOCAC is looking into that fairly diligently, I think. And the Cambria Chamber and Supervisor Gibson all have some information on that. I personally think that would be a good mode for us to move into going forward. I think that's a really powerful tool. And the last part I wanted to touch on is there was a presentation by SLOCOG, which was basically a presentation on their long range transportation plan, so their RTP. We talked about what the plan was, which is basically all local governments agencies together to look at large regional transportation type projects to benefit walkers, cars, bicycles, buses, etc. So SLOCOG is looking for input right now, and you can go to their website and there is a spot there to submit what projects that you see that around our community that you're interested in or you think would be a really good addition. So I think that's a good spot to start to add to our list of transportation needs here in Los Osos. And those are the three main things I want to talk about at that meeting. Anybody have any questions?
Any questions? That's a thorough report. And it sounds like they had a great meeting. Okay, so I think the next is, we don't do a utilities advisory report, right? Well, so the next is mine, finance committee.
Let me add one thing about utilities.
Okay, go ahead, Chuck, take it away.
Okay, we do have an opening on the committee. I've talked to Mr. Silva and he's just not gonna be able to meet the time commitments right now. So if you know someone that might be interested in serving on the Utility Advisory Committee, reach out to Laura, to Ron, to me, someone, and we have an opening. Thank you.
All right, thanks for bringing that up. Okay, the Finance Committee meeting was just the usual. They recommended approving the warrant register and receiving and filing the finances. So the warrant registers for June 2021 and the financials are for May 31st, 2021. So that's all I have. Any questions about Finance Committee? Okay, and do any directors have any announcements of district or community interest and reports or attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars?
I just wanted to point out that the Emergency Service Advisory Committee report, there was no report because there was no meeting held. I just wanted to make that clear.
Oh, it's in the agenda, no report, so I skipped on through.
And no, I just wanted to make sure everybody understood why there was no report. It was because we didn't have a meeting.
Yes, because ESAC, our meetings are quarterly.
Quarterly, so. Correct. Our last meeting was in May.
All right. So when's the next meeting? August?
Yes, I believe so. Is that correct, Ron?
Yes, August 19th. Yeah.
August, yes. Anyway, I didn't want to feel like there was no report when there should have been one.
Oh, I don't want you to feel left out.
Well, anyway.
Okay. I don't think we have this, but let me ask just in case, do we have any responses to previously asked questions?
No, we do not.
Okay. Alrighty. Looking at the wrong thing. So the next we go to the consent agenda. Do we start ask if anyone wants to pull anything and then take it to public comment?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda? All right, hearing nothing, let's open public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Okay, that is quiet. May I have a motion, or does anyone want to discuss the consent agenda? Or may I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion, Chris, to receive and file the administrative and committee report. to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Marshall and Matthew. May we have a roll call vote?
Director Ohilski.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. All right, so the motion passes. Does anyone on the board want to add anything to future agendas?
One thing I was thinking about or been thinking about a lot lately is around alternative water sources in the future, besides our just groundwater, maybe discussing about how we go about analyzing potential alternatives. in the future. I read an article last week, millions of wells are going to go dry around the world in the next 20 to 30 years. And we only have one water source. As we see in Central Valley, there's wells drying up. I know we're in a different situation, but with our extreme drought, and things are probably not going to get better with climate change and things. So I would propose potentially a future agenda item that we can discuss how we would analyze or go about reviewing alternative water sources, if that makes sense.
Yeah, can I talk about that one for just a quick minute?
Please, Marshall.
Yeah, when the Basin Management Committee, when the district was in bankruptcy and the Basin Management Committee got set up, there was a whole analysis done of alternative methods of providing water to Los Osos. I think that might be good background information. And then if there's some, and Chuck, you were involved in that, you were on the board then too. I know we were the only two, but I think that we can provide that to everybody as background information as to all of the alternative water sources that were looked into. I mean, we looked at state water, we looked at the Warden Lake, and there's a whole bunch of things. But I think if we put that information together sometime in the next few months, then we can send that out to you as far as for background information. And after we review that, you can see if there's something that we may want to agendize.
Yeah, that would be great. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I'll put that, I have all that information. And then Ron, I'll work with you and we'll put that together and get it out to the board members if that's okay.
Sounds good.
Good suggestion, Marshall. I think that's appropriate because we're gonna be revisiting some of these things. That report's been out there a while and right. Maybe it's time for an update. And I think that's a good suggestion.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, I'll work with Ron and we'll get that together in the next few months.
All right, sounds excellent. All right. Are there any closing comments from the board?
I want to pat the back of the Parks and Rec Committee again for the parks, the Farrell Street pathway again. I'll just leave it with that though.
I agree. It, those little things, you know, business as usual is good. It's nice not to be in the news, but once in a while, when there's a positive move, then it's good to be in the news. And this is a little thing, but it's a big thing. And for whoever who came up with this idea and whoever pushed it to its extreme to make it kind of a permanent little pathway instead of trying to DG it or something like that. Thank you.
Yeah, let me, I'll come after that, say, you know, great job, Matthew, and to the Parks and Rec Committee for completing that pathway. Great work.
Well, thank you, everyone. I hope as many people as we can see everybody on the 20th down there. I think it'll be a nice meeting down there.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Any other closing comments?
My toe is fit.
What was that? Okay, well, I'd like to thank the staff for their excellent work. Thank you. Thank you to the board for their time and efforts helping the CSD. I'd like to wish everyone a happy 4th of July. Be safe and be kind to each other. And I adjourn this meeting.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.
Yeah, good night. Have a great weekend.